6 years ago this month, I moved to Arizona. So 6 years ago, I remember distinctly there in my garage on a morning of 40 degrees. I got on my motorcycle, my best friend was driving my car, and we headed out. 3 days later, I pulled into the parking lot here. It was 90 degrees. I had made a wise choice. But here I was in a brand new state, brand new city, brand new congregation, had to leave my family behind because our home hadn't sold yet. And I show up here at Risen Savior. I get off my bike, I go in the office, I greet people there, and then pretty soon they are introducing me to Wade and Betty Wampler. You see, I was going to be staying in their casita, and ended up I stayed there for 2 months. Now, Wade and Betty had never met me. In fact, we had never even spoken on the phone. And yet, they heard that I needed a place to stay, so they opened up their home for me. Now, they simply could have taken me to their house, showed me the casita, and left it at that, and I would call that extremely generous. But that is not Wade and Betty Wampler. Oh, no, no. Every night I would come home from work, they'd call me on over, we'd have a cocktail or something and we'd visit. I can't tell you how many nights that they took me out to dinner those first few weeks. Then Wade would sit me down and he drew on a map of the area and he explained that all the north and south and all the east, west, they're a 1 mile grid. Helped me immensely in finding my way around here. They made sure I knew where the grocery stores was at, where I could find Target, where I could get the cheapest gas. They introduced me to their neighbors. They introduced me to people here at Risen Savior. They demonstrated what we have been calling for the last couple weeks, radical hospitality. They did the unexpected. They went above and beyond. And I know that they did all of that because of their love for Jesus. So this week, we're going to continue investigating what does the scriptures say about hospitality, what we call radical hospitality. Radical, not that it's extremist, but radical simply means that it has a different source. It comes from a different place. It has a different root, if you will. So radical hospitality is different from the ordinary or expected because it's rooted in Christ. The love of God that we've experienced through His Son, Jesus, that's what it flows out of. That's what true hospitality, that's what radical hospitality is. Now, for the last 2 weeks, we focused more on the radical side of things, that is, the unexpected, the extraordinary things that we see in Scripture. This week, we want to focus in on that word hospitality. And we're going to focus in on Hebrews 13 that talks a little bit about that. What I hope that we get out of that this morning is this. Hospitality is an attitude, an action, and an alliance. First and foremost, hospitality is an attitude. It is how we approach it. It is our motivation that's behind that. And if the motivation is right, if our attitude is right, then it's truly hospitality. Otherwise, it's just empty words and actions. Somebody going through the motion, somebody saying their prescribed script is not hospitality. My example of that, which I have used before, is if you go into any commercial establishment, you're going to hear, "Hi, welcome to Walgreens." Right? "Thank you for shopping at Target." Right? They're just going through the motions. I don't fault the workers for doing that. They're following the script. That's what they've been told to do. Somebody down in corporate read an article or a study that said there's a coordination between hospitality and customer satisfaction. So they were going to create hospitality. They were going to have a script so that people would feel welcome in their establishment. But you cannot create hospitality. You cannot make people feel welcome. It just doesn't work. Unless it's genuine, unless it's sincere, unless it's heartfelt, it's just empty words. It's just empty actions. That's why radical hospitality is rooted in Christ. It's rooted in Christ. The love of God that we've experienced through Jesus has changed us. Scripture says that we're a new creation. It changes the way we think, it changes our attitude, and it changes our actions as well. So a hospitality that is rooted in Christ then has a whole different attitude about it. We want to show God's love to others, and it's sincere, and it's genuine, right? It's radical. It's unexpected. Case in point, the early church. Take a look at Hebrews. The writer here says something that at first glance doesn't look all that astonishing, but it really is. He says in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. That little simple line, let brotherly love continue. And he's talking about, as we know, right, showing brotherly love to strangers, showing it to people in prison, people who are sick, right? First century AD, this is a radical idea. To show that kind of compassion, to show that kind of love and kindness to anyone who is outside of your immediate family, that was like unheard of. That wasn't done. That wasn't practiced. They wondered what was wrong with these people. One commentary I read, he put it this way. He said, the expansion to the term to include men and women beyond the immediate family was considered ludicrous. There's something wrong with these people. What are they doing? Why would they open themselves up that way? Because followers of Jesus are different. Followers of Jesus have been changed. And we have a whole different attitude. We have a whole different motivation about us. That the love of God wells up in us, and we want to show that to others as well. And notice also that the writer said, let us continue showing brotherly love. In other words, this is something that they had been practicing already. He doesn't give an admonition. Listen, start treating people with respect out there. Why don't you start, you know, loving other people than just your family? No, he says, continue to do that. And to me, that's the word for us. That's the word for us, risen Savior. Let us continue to show brotherly love. I happen to believe, I'm biased, I happen to believe the risen Savior is a very warm and loving place. That's been my experience. I've had any number of people tell me that's their experience as well. Let us continue then. In fact, let's ramp it up. Let's take it to the next level. Let's do the unexpected. Let's do the extraordinary to make sure that people feel welcomed here, that this is their home here. Let us continue to show hospitality, to show brotherly love. People know there's a difference. When we genuinely welcome someone, when there's sincerity in the intonation, when the handshake is more than just something which is perfunctory, when the conversation goes deeper than the weather, that all flows from a different attitude. It's one that is rooted in Christ, and then that comes out, right? And people can tell the difference. First and foremost, hospitality is an attitude, but hospitality is an action. Because that attitude leads to action. It leads us to do things differently. We don't just welcome people. We don't just shake hands because we're supposed to. It's because we want to. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. So he says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. There's a progression that happens here, right? Continue showing brotherly love. And what does that mean? That flows into an action then. So that makes sure that you don't neglect to show that, not to just your inner circle, not to just your friends, not just your family, but to people that you don't know as well. So let's continue to show the brotherly love. Let's put it into action. Right? So that's the word for us today, is to continue to show brotherly love, but to put those words into action. And then he says something which is rather unusual. I don't want to pass over it. He says, thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Doesn't that strike you as curious? Entertained angels and didn't know it? I believe it's a reference back to Genesis chapter 18. The setting there is Abraham is sitting outside of his tent, and he sees three people approaching him, and he practices what I would consider radical hospitality. He greets them, brings them in, provides water so they can wash their feet, making sure they're comfortable. He makes sure that a dinner is cooked and served to them. But over the course of the evening, it becomes evident that these aren't just your ordinary travelers. They are of the heavenly realm. In fact, they tell him that 1 year from now, they're going to come back and his wife, Sarah, is going to be pregnant. Now, they've been waiting for decades to have children. So, unawares, he had been entertaining angels. Now, what's really curious here is the writer doesn't say that was a one-time event. Think about that for a moment. I don't want to go too far with this, but Scripture says it. Could it be when we've shown hospitality that we've entertained angels unawares? Wow. That's what Scripture says. The writer of Hebrews also makes a connection in this passage, because then he talks about welcoming the stranger. And then the next verse he talks about those who are sick, those who are in prison. That sounds very, very reminiscent of Jesus talking about the final day when he says to those on his right, that you visited me when I was in prison, you tended to me when I was sick, you clothed me, you fed me. All those are very reminiscent of what you see right here. So he's making a connection to the words of Jesus. And Jesus basically says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. In other words, when you serve, you're serving Jesus, showing hospitality as if you're showing and welcoming Jesus himself. Listen to his words once again. So Matthew 25, he says this, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Jesus says, as we show kindness and compassion to others, it's as if we're showing it to him as well. I mean, this is our word for the day, and that is to show hospitality to those that we don't know. It's easy to show hospitality to our circle of friends, our acquaintances that we have, but to break out of that, to not neglect the stranger, to see the downtrodden, to have an open ear to listen to someone and genuinely be interested in them, to sincerely want to hear their story, to be glad that they're here and they're among us, and that you have an opportunity to get to know them, right? The attitude translates into actions. And then Jesus says that by doing that, you are his hands and feet. Jesus has a compassionate love for all people. That's why he says, if you did it to the least of those, it's like you did it to me. Because Jesus is using you to reach out to people and to share his love with people. We are his hands and feet. So hospitality begins with the right attitude, and that leads to action. And then finally, hospitality is an alliance. And I know that's a different word. You wonder, well, why in the world did I choose alliance for the last one? It's really very simple. I needed another A word. I'm just keeping it real, okay? I'm just keeping it real. I mean, I had attitude, I had action, what else? Thesaurus, right? I got alliance, right? But I kept it because it conveys, I believe, what the writer of Hebrews is saying and the point that I want to make. In an alliance, both parties benefit. When you form an alliance with someone, right, both parties are blessed by that. And I believe the same is true with hospitality. The one who is on the receiving end of being warmly welcomed and the person who is showing that hospitality to them are both equally blessed. My basis for that is the word that the writer of the Hebrews uses for hospitality. He uses a compound word. He uses the word for hospitality, which at its root meaning means invite to the table, right? Invite to the table is a big deal back Middle East, back at that time. To sit down for dinner with someone was a big deal. You didn't do that with just anybody, right? That was reserved for only those who were very close to you. So hospitality, invite them to the table, right? But the writer of the Hebrews makes a compound word, and he adds on to that the word philios, which means brotherly love. So brotherly love type hospitality, or the love of hospitality. So this isn't just showing hospitality, but I love to show hospitality. This isn't just welcoming people. I love to welcome people. I love to greet people. I love to visit with people, right? Because it's reciprocal. When we show that kindness to an individual, it comes back to us. Now, that's not our motivation, right? Got to start with the right attitude, the right motivation. But it's a result. It's a result. Most people, I'll say, I won't say all, but most people, when you show them hospitality, will respond positively to you. You flash a smile, people will smile back. Right? You warmly greet someone, they'll reciprocate back to you. And the fact is that when a new person comes in and you start talking to them, and all of a sudden you can see them visibly start to relax as they start to feel more comfortable with their surroundings and not so lost. When all of a sudden you can tell that they're more at ease, and this is becoming more of a place where they can be at home. You can't walk away from that and not feel good. You just can't. It's not the motivation, it's not the attitude, but you can't walk away from that. Why? Because there's an alliance that's been formed here between two individuals. Friendships are formed. Even if it's a casual acquaintance friendship, if you see that person next week, there's an immediate connection. You remember talking to them. You may not remember their name. They may not remember your name, but it doesn't matter, right? You got a connection from the week before. There are lifelong friendships that have been formed from this. I've talked to enough people. They've been friends 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They say, oh yeah, we first met back at church. That means one of them reached out to the other. Some sort of warm hand of welcome, some sort of greeting, and now 40 years later, they're still friends. That's radical hospitality. That's genuine. That's sincere. And that only flows out of something which is rooted in Christ. The love of God, as we've experienced through Jesus, then that flows out of us. So hospitality, first and foremost, it's an attitude. But that leads to an action. And it results in an alliance. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, each and every day we're grateful that you have welcomed us into your presence and that you have called us your children. We pray that the love that we've experienced from you, that it would flow out of us and touch others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.